Well, this morning, I don't think there could have been even any better setup with worship to what God was wanting to speak to us and to experience this morning. And it is about worship. And I think how important it is for what God wants to do in His children, in His church, because God calls us to be worshipers. And I know probably about a month ago or so, I spoke about worship. And how the Lord is looking for worshipers, people who worship Him in spirit and in truth, who give themselves to the Lord. And I won't be necessarily going back over that, but I will be speaking about an aspect of worship. My title today is Worship is a Choice. It's a choice. Because not all Christians actually are worshipers. Something actually that in some ways we have to learn. I think some people come to it more naturally than others. And some people have sometimes a hard time with what it is to really worship God. But we're going to talk a little bit more about worship this morning. It's crucial to the life, growth, and health of a believer. It's part of our life with God. Really, it's kind of like standing on one leg in a relationship with God if we don't have worship. Because worship is supposed to be so integral to our life with Him. Worship is a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift to us. It's a gift to us as His people, because really worship is for us. If you just experience worship this morning, you realize, wow, Lord, that was good. I love to worship You because the experience that we have of Him is wonderful. It's a gift to His people. Yet it's also a gift to God from us, because it calls us to give, to be givers. And ultimately, this makes worship to be very relational. That's what worship is. Worship is relational. If you have a hard time with relationships, you might have a hard time with worship. If you have a hard time praising other people, for instance, like just telling them, hey, loved what you did. I like who you are. I like this about you. And it's hard for you to get those words out of your mouth, because maybe you never received it when you were a kid, or when you were growing up, you didn't get much affirmation, much love. But that's part of a relationship, right? That builds relationships. It builds relationships when we build others up. And that's in the human sense, But worship, as we give to God, it is relational. Brian Johnson, worship pastor at Bethel Church in Reading, he said it this way. He said, the person who truly worships God is a person who knows that He is God and that we are not. God gave us the gift of free will. We all have it. We have the gift of free will in our lives. He also says, our greatest gift back to Him is using our free will He gave us to choose to worship Him. We can choose not to worship. We can choose to close our mouths and sit there and like, I'm not going to worship You, God. Some people do. I've seen it. I mean, I've seen it in worship. People are just, they refuse. I won't do it. I won't open my lips. And I'm like, brother, sister, you're missing out. You're really missing out on what God has for you to enter in to worship. You'll never get to the throne room that way. You'll never experience the presence of God with the button-up lips and the crossed arms and the I won't do it attitude. Our worship is a choice. Worship, in many ways, has more to do with the will than it has to do with any emotion or feeling. To come into worship is an act of the will. Are emotions involved? Certainly. Emotions are absolutely involved, but they're not essential. You don't have to have emotions to worship God. You don't have to have that good feeling on the inside to open your mouth and begin to praise. Our worship is really more of a response to God. We love because He first loved us. He is the initiator. We are the responder. It's a relationship. The level in which we respond to God with our worship, it speaks about our relationship with God. You know, God gives and blesses and does things for us, and God's desire is to bless us. But it does take our response as well to have a full relationship with Him. Worship speaks about our willingness to give and to surrender. When we look at life, there's so much of life that we cannot control. There's things that we just can't control. We can try as hard as we want to try. We can make plans. We can have wonderful strategies for living life. Some of those plans work well. Others don't. We can work hard. We can try to be good. We can try to do good things. But there's still things that we cannot control how it turns out. And there's an element of surrender throughout life. In life, there's this constant that we don't necessarily ever get away from. God has been working in our lives, and He's been working in our lives too when He brings us to that place of surrender. Sometimes it's God's will that we come to that place where we have to lose our self-focus and change things around to gain a God-focus. When our surrender is to Him, a shift begins to happen. And one way we surrender to God is through worship. This is one way we surrender to God. And you may say, well, you know, what does that look like necessarily? If you've experienced it, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. But our true worship is an act of giving. So in an element of that, there is an element of surrender. Surrendering myself unto Him. Giving of myself unto Him. I open myself to God. I praise Him. I thank Him. I honor His name. It takes something of me to do that. And not only do I do that individually, but I join with others. I join even with all the saints who've gone before us. We do that. And we declare that He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. We declare that. We join with saints like King David, who wrote in Psalm 145. He says, I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure His greatness. When I come to praise the Lord, I recognize who He is, or at least how I understand God and what He has taught me. I recognize Him. I surrender to the knowledge of God, and become a worshiper of Him. I get to a place where I decide that I can no longer sit back. I no longer can sit back and hold back praise. That I must give my praise. I can't just let others give it for me because others can't give it for me. It's my choice. It's my will. Others cannot do this for me. I, of my own will, give praise. So I cannot sit on the sidelines while others praise. I cannot be pridefully just focused upon me and myself. I have to get beyond that. I have to get beyond myself. I need to get to Him. And I realize I've become His, and He is mine. I am not my own. That we are not our own. That we've entered into a relationship that asks. It asks us to live unto Him. Unto Him. And so now I give Him praise. Morning, noontime, evening, even as I sleep, it's a good time to praise. There's never not a time where we cannot give praise to God. Actually, I love it when I wake up and there's a praise song in my mind, in my spirit. And sometimes I just go and I'll sometimes get the phone and I'll look it up and find it and just play it that morning. It's wonderful to wake up with praise in my heart. But even if you don't, you can still choose to wake up and say, I'm going to praise God. Even if you feel like tired and weary, you feel like you're dragging through the morning, Maybe that cup of coffee you haven't gotten yet. So I'll praise God after the coffee. Well, praise Him on the way to the coffee. Amen. Praise Him on the way as you brew the coffee. And then maybe give Him a shout when you drink the coffee. Yeah. It's always a good time to praise God. And that's how we should live. It's not just what we do in church. It's not what we just come together and really, as Jim and the worship team so appropriately led us, I mean, that worship was just spot on. At all times, I will bless the Lord. At all times. But we carry it with us, that heart to worship. In our house, in the car, if it's even in the line in the grocery store. It's good. People need to see you praise the Lord. They need to see something weird, something out of their norm. And maybe there's a reason why you can praise God, that you can have joy. And as we talked about already this morning, it's not necessarily because all things are good. Let His songs of praise rise in your hearts, and may your lips honor Him. Our act of praise is a giving of ourselves. It's a giving. And yet, as we give, God says, oh, but I love to give back. I love to give back. I love to give upon my worshipers. He inhabits our praise. His presence enters that praise. He delights in it. He delights in you praising Him. It just gets the angels busy, those worship angels. It just gets them busy, filling the room with heavenly colors of light as we encounter Him with our praise. It really helps us to shift our focus away from us to a much greater context. That's what God really, He wants us to shift it away from us to give Him what is good. So this morning, I do want to talk into what I want to call, and what others have called, the sacrifice of praise. And in fact, it says it specifically in Hebrews 13, 15 through 16. It says, through Jesus, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased. He calls us to continually offer sacrifices unto Him. See, there is a time and a place where even in our relationship with God, there's almost a type of cost that gets involved with our giving. Because we don't just give unto God just something that's of no worth. One, you're of great worth. So when you give of yourself, you're giving something that God died for. He died for you. He gave His life for you to redeem you. And you give of yourself, you are of great worth. But it's interesting how the Bible over and over speaks about giving and sacrifice and the cost of such in ways that really goes back to surrender. It goes back to surrender. In fact, Matthew 16, 24 speaks about this. It speaks about something that we understand the Christian life. It says, Jesus said to His disciples, whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for Me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Jesus speaks about this, about denying ourselves, losing our life in Him. But in Him, we actually find ourselves. We find our life. We have a purpose, and your purpose is to follow Him, follow Jesus. And by doing this, we're actually laying down our lives before Him. It's a surrender. It's a self-surrender, and it involves your will. It involves you giving of yourself. So the message of self-surrender is throughout the Bible. Throughout we see it. It's God's way. It's not the world's way. We know that. It's not the world's way. The world's way is self-preservation. Preserve yourself. Do for yourself. Build yourself up. Build vats of storage so you can store away. Treasures on earth, not treasures in heaven. That's the mindset of this world. But God does it differently. He says, give your life away. Give it to me. He says, give it to him. Receive Jesus. Lay down your life. Take up your cross. We don't find our lives through our own means, because that's always searching and never finding. Yet we find Christ. To find Christ and to give ourselves fully to him is to find life. It's such a paradox. It's such a paradox to what this world presents to us. So we have to learn something much, much different. And yet our nature is self-preservation. But God says, offer yourself to me. And when it comes to praise, give yourself to me, even the sacrifice of praise. And it really almost takes over that Old Testament connotation where sacrifices were given unto God, animal offerings. But then when Jesus came, he did away with that. He did away with that. So no longer are we offering our best lamb, our best cattle, because in the Old Testament it was offer your best. Don't offer your sick lamb or your broken down cattle. Don't offer what is something that you could part with anyway. Offer something that actually cost you something. Your best, your first. That's what we give unto the Lord. And when we come before the Lord and give him a sacrifice of praise, it's all of ourselves. It's all who we are. And it says, how do we continually praise to God? It says it in Hebrews, the scripture I read, it said, through Jesus, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Through Jesus, through Christ, we're able to offer a sacrifice of praise. Because sometimes it's not about, again, how we feel or how good things are. There's a place in God's kingdom. Actually, there's a place in God's kingdom where brokenness is good. Where brokenness is good. That's not what we, in this world, that's not what we like, because brokenness is weak. Brokenness is frail. It's fragile. We don't like brokenness. This world doesn't champion brokenness. It champions strength. But there's a place in God's kingdom where brokenness is good, where we don't have to be strong, where we don't have to be strong, where we don't have to have it all together. There's a place where in brokenness we find something very rich. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 5, we read more about that. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Can you give thanks for everything? Well, I need to make sure it says, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. But let's go to the scripture very specifically. It says, in everything, give thanks. In everything. It's important. Because the verse says, in everything give thanks. It does not say, for everything. So we don't give thanks for some of the hardships, the difficulties, the things that have been done to us or we've seen that really have been very hurtful. We don't necessarily give thanks for everything. But there is a place in Christ that we can give thanks, even in hard times, bad times. That we can actually give God praise to him through the difficulties of life. It's through Christ that we can continually offer praise. Darlene Check, I don't know if, I think we would know, all people would know in here who Darlene Check is. She was a worship pastor for Hillsong's Church Australia. So that was back in a different era for Hillsong's Church. But it's actually the era where Hillsong's became very well known all over the world. Now, she still is a worship leader, and she's still she's written books. She travels and speaks. So she's still active in ministry. I don't think she's any longer with Hillsong's, but that's where she became really well known. And some of the songs we sing a few decades ago, she made them extremely well known. But Darlene Check, she spoke of this idea of the sacrifice of praise, praising God when life hurts. And this idea that she went through, she talked about this as she was giving a sermon actually here in America. She said she and her husband, they were wanting a third child. That was on their heart. They had two children. They were wanting a third child. And so they were praying about this. Yet they weren't able to get pregnant. It wasn't happening. Over time, they just weren't able to get pregnant. So they really came to the idea of seeking after adoption. They said, well, you know, we can't get pregnant for whatever reason. We're going to go and adopt. And so they're in Australia. They actually start the adoption process here in America, and they start going through that whole process, and they're in the middle of the process. And then all of a sudden, America shuts down international adoption. And so they don't allow people from other countries to adopt children from America. And so it seemed like what was hopeful really turned on its head and really gave them a great disappointment. Because, Lord, we thought maybe this would be the way for what's in our heart, our desire to have that third child. And we would gladly adopt and gladly receive an adopted child in our family. But that was painful, yet ultimately it turned around fairly quickly, because just a few months after the actual adoption shut down in America, they actually got pregnant. So she got pregnant. They were pregnant. They rejoiced. They said, oh, okay, well, Lord, that was good, because that probably happened, because now the pregnancy was actually going to be ours. And say, oh, praise the Lord. Lord, whatever way, we just accept and receive what you want to do to fulfill this desire that's in our hearts. Now, when they went to the doctor for their three-month checkup, the doctor did the normal procedures. They looked at the baby in the womb, and they checked the vital signs of the baby. But with great sadness, the doctor came to them and said, your baby's heart's not beating. And that hit them like a ton of bricks, as you can imagine. And it's like, Lord, we don't understand. We don't understand. This brought great pain, as you can imagine, to the couple. And it was there, she tells the story, that she was leaving the hospital. She was sitting in her car, just trying to process it, feeling a lot of painful emotions, mixed emotions, of all the disappointment, all that they had put into this, everything that they were hoping for, and it was just very painful at that time. And she sat there. And in the midst of being in her pain, she heard the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God said, sing. Sing. Now, she knew what that meant. That wasn't just turn on the radio and bebop with the latest tunes. She was a worship leader. She understood what it meant when the Lord said, sing. And her response was, no. No, I don't want to. No, I don't feel like it. And no, I'm not going to. Because she said it, she felt at that time, it's like, I can't. I cannot sing. Yet the Holy Spirit was gentle but persistent and continued to speak to her and said, sing. Sing to me. Sing. She finally opened her mouth, not necessarily knowing what she was singing, and she opened her mouth not feeling at all like singing. And what came out of her mouth was, how great thou art. How great thou art. As she started to sing that hymn through the verse, again, the feelings, just the mixed emotions, she didn't feel like singing, but she said that as she sang, as she gave that song to the Lord, she began to feel a shift on the inside of her. She began to feel a shift where all the pain and the hurt and the anger was. She began to feel God's presence and His goodness and His love and His care for her in that moment, in that time, in that place. And even in the middle of that, she understood God is good. It doesn't make everything all of a sudden just better. But in that moment in time, she experienced something of God that she could not and would not experience unless she sang to the Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, and I'm not the only, I'm through Darling Check's testimony. I think Bill Johnson says it very well. There are times in our life that God gives us that are painful, that are hard, that are difficult. And he spoke this recently as his wife passed. His wife recently died of cancer at 67, too early. And even as he was speaking in tears, he said, there are moments and times where what we give to God is a sacrifice. I can praise God on the mountaintops. Yes, that's awesome, that's good, that's wonderful. And we should praise God on the mountaintops. But there are times that the sacrifice of what we're giving to God is only in those valleys, only in those times of hardship, of depression, of difficulties, where we're going through the fire, we're going through difficulties, that when I open my mouth and say, God, I don't feel like it, but I will praise you anyway. I will give you praise. That those are the sacrifices that are the most pleasing to God. They're like a fresh burning incense to the nostrils of the Lord, because he knows it cost us something. It cost us something to open our mouths and praise him in all things, in all things. So I ask you the question, can you praise God when you're weak, when you have no feeling at all in your soul to praise him? Yes. Yes. Yes, you can. Not because you feel like it, but as an act of your will to say, even though, Lord, even though. David, how many times did David go through it? Say, Lord, even though you slay me, I will praise you, God. Because he did go through those times where it seemed like death was at his door. Death was knocking and coming for him. But it would not get him. And even in the midst of that, he would give God praise. This is a place which proves God's presence with us in such a powerful, amazing way. And sometimes, again, we won't understand aspects of God unless we go through it with him and we give him. When, in our worst moments, in our pain, in our weakness, we worship him. But there God can give us solace and give us strength that is not ours. It is not ours. But we know that it didn't come from us. We know that without a shadow of a doubt, it is his and he's giving it to us. It's sent from heaven. In those times, we, in that self-surrender to God, we find a place of great beauty, of a wonderful, beautiful thing. Isaiah 63:3 says it so wonderfully. Isaiah 63:3 talks about a God who gives beauty for ashes. A God who gives the oil of joy instead of mourning. A God who gives us a garment of praise that replaces the spirit of despair. To experience that God is a powerful, anointed place to come before the Lord. It's a beautiful place. He gives hope for the hopeless. It is as if he gives us a divine exchange. And the divine exchange is very simple. You give him your pain. You give him your suffering. Give him your worship. And he will bring about a giving into you from heaven. The blessings of heaven, the goodness of God, a hope that you could not buy with money, but that comes from him. We can give to God. even when it hurts, even when we're burdened, even when we're in pain and suffering. We make the sacrifice of praise unto Him. And as we do it, let Him begin that divine exchange. So this morning, I want to encourage you, don't bottle stuff up on the inside where it could fester and grow your and make your weary grow, make your soul grow weary. And sometimes that's where Christians find themselves, in a weariness of their circumstances. And it seems so counterintuitive to come and praise the Lord, to give Him, to open our mouths and say, Lord, I'm just going to sing unto You. I can remember giving that to, that counsel. I felt like the Lord telling me in a time of prayer for somebody, it was years ago, and they were telling me all the difficulties they were having with work, with their boss, with the situation. They're praying for changes, that things would change, their circumstances. They were having a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, and they're just praying for changes, and changes weren't happening. And I just felt the Lord, and they were losing sleep. And I remember they saying they were losing sleep. And so when I said, you know, next time, I felt the Lord told me to say this, next time you lose sleep and you can't get back to bed, the middle of the night, worship Him. Worship Him. And I feel like that's sometimes what the Lord is also saying to us. When anxiousness is keeping you up at night, when you're having a hard time sleeping, when you don't have peace in your soul, worship Him. Give Him praise. He's worthy. And it has nothing to do with your circumstances and how you feel. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. He's the one, and I really kind of see this analogy, He's a one who can turn a barren desert into a beautiful, flourishing garden. I feel like it's like when we open our hearts to worship, we open our hearts to Him, He comes into our hearts and He tends it. He tends it like a garden. He starts rooting out the weeds. He starts nourishing that which is planted there. He starts giving into the garden and shaping it and forming it into something beautiful. That's our God. But it's a relationship. It's a relationship. So invite the Lord this morning into your heart. Open your heart to worship Him. Because there's something He wants to do in you that only He can do.